3. HMS Dancer, 54, Gulf of Dolar. There were times, Gwilym Manthir thought, when it would have been far more satisfying to have been wrong. No doubt his reputation as a weather prophet would have suffered, yet he would infinitely have preferred that to facing what was probably the worst storm he'd ever encountered at sea. Sunset's purple-black clouds had continued their remorseless advance, and the wind had risen from shrill-voiced wailing to howling to a frenzied scream. As he'd feared, the storm's swelling strength had made it impossible for his galleons to maintain their course towards Claw Island. They'd been forced to lie to under fore and main storm staysails and goose-winged main topsails. He'd ordered the royal masts and topgallant masts sent down more on a hunch, a feeling, than anything else, but he was glad he had. He clung to the quarterdeck rail, lifeline snug around his chest, staring up at the heavens, awed, despite a lifetime at sea, by the boiling indigo fury. Lightning stuttered and flashed, exploding like Langhorne's own rockery in long, jagged streaks like cracks between creation and hell. The cannonade of heaven's own thunder could be heard even through the hell-born wind howl and the sea's stupendous crashing fury. Waves reared 30 feet high and more, with long, overhanging crests. The surface of the sea was completely covered with long white patches of foam, lying along the direction of the wind, and wave crests were white explosions of wind-shredded froth. The impact of those mighty waves was shock-like, slamming at the bones and sinews of his ships, and ice-cold rain beating down so heavily that it actually washed the salt taste of flying spray off his lips, pounded on his streaming oilskins like needle-tipped fists. He could see only 3 other ships, despite the fiery illumination of the blue-white lightning. The others were obscured by rain, spray, and the mountainous waves themselves. It was perhaps the single most terrifying, exhilarating moment of his life, and he felt his lips drawing back from his teeth in challenge as he clung to his flagship's rail and felt her limber, vibrant strength fighting back against the fury of the sea. He had no business on this deck, and he knew it. He was a flag officer, not a captain, and he held no direct responsibility for Dancer's handling or survival. He'd never been as fully aware of his passenger's status as he was at this moment, and he wondered if Captain McGale resented his presence on deck. Thought it was a case of a nervous admiral looking over his flag captain's shoulder? He hoped not, for the truth was that he had total faith in Rafe McGale. It was just that on this night, in the teeth of a storm like this, he simply couldn't stay in his cabin while his wildly swaying cot swung from its deckhead gimbals. Yet there was another reason he was here, for unless his instincts played him false, this magnificent, malignant monster of a storm had yet to reach its full fury. He'd always heard that storms born in the great Western Ocean were like no others, and he'd always regarded those claims with a hefty dose of skepticism. This night was turning him into a believer. He'd lived through 2 hurricanes, neither of them actually at sea, and as he peered into the luridly illuminated heart of this storm's living fury, he knew it was rapidly approaching that level of violence. And this time he wasn't safe ashore.
"Just what I don't need," he thought grimly.
He knew the storm drove his galleons deeper into the Gulf of Dolar with every passing hour. What he didn't know was whether they'd be able to keep any sail set at all, or whether Captain McGale would have no choice but to put Dancer before the wind under bare poles. A landsman might not believe a ship could actually make headway without a single scrap of canvas set, but the wind resistance of her standing rigging and furled sails would be more than enough to drive her in conditions like these. While any sail she might have set, even the triple thickness of a storm staysail,
could carry away like so much tissue at any moment, potentially inflicting serious damage aloft. At the moment, despite the storm's roaring violence, it was clear to his experienced eye that Dancer was in no immediate danger. She might stagger, shaking her head like a belligerent drunk, as another huge sea hurled itself upon her, sweeping in green and cream fury across her decks. She might lurch drunkenly, might groan and creak in every plank and timber while wind shrieked through her shrouds. And he knew the pumps were working, dealing with the water which managed to spurt around the edges of even the most tightly sealed gunport, find its way through the most closely covered hatch gratings. No doubt more water was finding its way through her seams as she worked in the violent seaway as well, but that didn't concern him. It was only another indication of her true strength, the limber toughness that let her flex and bend, yielding just enough to the forces pounding at her hull. But however well she might endure the sea's fury, she couldn't stand motionless in its face. He couldn't see the land spreading away, hundreds of miles to the north and south, as the continents of Westhaven and Howard reached out to envelop his ships, yet he knew it was there. "One thing at a time, Gwillem," he told himself. "One thing at a time. First we survive, then we worry about Thirsk." Besides, he felt himself baring his teeth once more. If he's at sea on a night like this with that bunch of pressed landsmen of his, he's got enough things of his own to worry about to be leaving us the hell alone.